This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Whenever you do get into like in-depth, kind of like peeling back the layers of the onion of the relationship, when you do make comparisons to the outside world and other people and an unhealthy behavior that's going on here, the common response that you'll get 99.9% of the time is, oh, it's like that everywhere. Everybody's like this, because they have to normalize their behavior by saying, well, everybody else, whether there's any validity to that or not, which it's usually not. But that's how people end up staying trapped half the time, is we just keep telling ourselves, well, yeah, that's bad, but at least it's not the Adelsons. At least it's not that. It's like, it's bad. And bad is bad. Bad doesn't need to always involve murder before one says, had enough. Yeah. Time to go live a healthy life.
We just got a comment. They're not seeing how involved Wendy was in this. Wendy is not a victim. I think that people have to be understanding that when we talk about Wendy as a quote unquote victim, it's because of the way the family was and the way Donna was and all that kind of stuff. That, as Tony just said, that doesn't mean you go out and have somebody murdered.
No, no. I mean, Wendy is a victim in the same way that it's different. I was going to say like abused animal, and then the animal goes and bites people. Wendy, you know, she was brought up in that world. So she did have agency. I'm not going to pretend that Wendy didn't grow up and didn't have the ability to be retrospective and introspective and choose the path that she wanted to choose. She did. She just chose the path of least resistance. The one that was easy to go along, the one that she's already known. Most people do that. That's not abnormal. It's very abnormal if you break away from that. Mm-hmm. It's probably healthier, but not normal or common. So she was really just going along with the family. The family went to an extreme. Should she be held accountable if she knew that the father of her children's life was in danger? Yes. Yes, she should. Does it mean that she should be held accountable to the same level of planning the murder? No, that's a very different thing. But you don't get away scot-free because you chose not to make adult choices.
Right.
And adult choices sometimes mean standing up to those around you who are making very piss-poor choices, especially when it involves the life of someone around you. Sorry, there's consequences to that. And I'm sorry you were abused. And I'm sorry you thought this was the only way to do it. You should think better next time. And there's consequences to those actions. So do better. That's just kind of how I think, how I feel about her. I mean, I don't know. I mean, unless she had a lot more to do with this planning, which we don't know as of right now. If it sits where it sits, should there be consequences? Yes. Is it conspiracy to commit murder? No. But there's something. There is certainly something there.
Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of comments come through about Wendy and fraud to the court that Dan was going to expose, which would put her license in jeopardy.
There is some talk of that. And I don't know all the details, but I believe pieces of this do come out in some time. It's an area I need to dig into more. I don't know enough to speak about it. But it is an area that I have heard rumblings on, and I just don't know enough about it yet. But I know that information came from, I think Joel over on Surviving the Survivor podcast had on the attorney, the divorce attorney. Because that's who I want to get on here to talk about it. He was on with somebody.
That attorney will not message me back. I spoke to an assistant at the law firm, secretary as well. Cannot get a call back.
Okay. He spoke to somebody, and that's where that information comes from. That's an interview I have not listened to in its entirety, and I need to do that because that's an interesting point of conversation that we should be having on this case. Let's keep watching. I know there's more here.
Questions I'm about to ask you are about the investigation into you, not that we believe you're a suspect, okay?
I understand.
You would agree with me at the beginning of the case in July 2014, there was a thought that you were a potential suspect.
That's what I've been told, yes.
You were contacted by the police.
I was.
You came in, you were interviewed.
So I came straight from my trip into the TPD. Yeah.
Three separate times you were interviewed, right?
Yes.
Now, they didn't handcuff you at gunpoint and drag you into the station, right?
No, they asked me to come in, so I came in.
Voluntarily went in? You told them what you knew? You explained the information, right? Eventually, you helped them get bank records to show where you were. It was in Tennessee, right?
Yeah, I believe it was cell phone records and a receipt from a Kmart. We had surveillance video of me, was my understanding of it.
So they get your bank records. They see a transaction at a Walmart, right?
Yeah, credit card records.
There's then a receipt. And then they go actually to the Walmart, get their surveillance footage that shows you there.
It was a Kmart, but yes, sir.
And then you were cleared.
That's correct.
You would agree with me that they objectively investigated you?
Yes.
Now, had they not gotten the bank records, the Walmart video, or anything like that, one could paint a picture that you were involved. So, just the fact that you left town right when the murder happened and you had this connection.
Well, except that I wasn't in the state at the time of the murder, so how could I have done it? So that's...
What we're talking about here is that somebody could paint the picture without all the evidence.
Yeah, if they don't have all the evidence, sure.
All right. Let's go to something you said on direct talking about June 4th. And you had appeared to have a very good memory of all the instances. You said that Wendy had the kids on June 4th, the night of June 4th. You spent a lot of time with Wendy, spent a lot of time with the kids. You knew their daily schedule, the boys, right?
I knew not so much because I usually got there in the evening. So at the time, I would know what day she had the kids. But as far as pickup times and things like that, I usually saw them at the end of the day. I copied you just a couple of times to pick up the kids. So I don't want to sound like I'm an expert on that because I'm not.
So June 4th, she has the kids. The next morning, June 5th, she would have taken them to Creative Preschool.
She would have, but I never stayed over there. So when the kids were there, so I wouldn't have known that because I left at the end of the night if the kids were there every time.
That would have been consistent with the custody setup that she had with Dan Markell, correct?
Yeah, depending on what the days on the schedule were, which I don't recall. I used to know that. I don't anymore.
It wouldn't have been that he'd come and pick them up at her house and then bring them over to Creative Preschool.
I never saw that kind of scheduling anyway.
So it would have been consistent with on June 5th, she would have dropped the kids off.
It would have been consistent, but I don't have any primary knowledge of what she did on June 5th.
Let's talk about Charles Adelson. Understanding that you didn't have a close relationship with him, you did meet him and you hung out with him.
Yeah, for a few hours.
To you, and I'm going to use your words, he seemed like somebody that hung out on both sides of the tracks, right?
That's the way he presented himself in that hot tub. Yes.
And you took that to be accurate?
Yes, I took his self-presentation to be accurate. That's correct.
During the day, he's wearing a lab coat or scrubs or whatever dentists wear, right?
Right.
And then when he's off work, he's going out, he's hanging out at the gym with less savory people.
Yeah, that was sort of his characterization. I was sort of repeating what he said. Yeah.
In your words, less savory individuals.
Less savory, gritty. I don't remember his exact words, but gritty, something like that. I don't remember his exact words, but yeah, that's how he presented himself in that hot tub. It seemed to be almost a braggadocio kind of thing, like, look at me, I'm on both sides.
And you took him to be a street smart guy.
I did.
He had friends that were ex-special ops.
Yes, that's what he said. Yeah, that's what him and Wendy said.
His gym friends that, to you, almost came off as nefarious?
Well, yeah, and I don't remember the details at this point, but he was talking about deals they were doing. There was a lot of hinting and innuendo. But yeah, you're accurately presenting how he presented to me.
Let's go now to the dinner on March 11, 2014.
Sure.
It was outside. It was on Miami Beach.
Yeah.
If you remember, and you may not, do you remember seeing a pickup truck with two gentlemen outside of the restaurant watching you guys? Let's go now to July 14th, 2014.
Okay.
Now, you had met Catherine Magbanua several months prior to that.
Yeah, I met her in March.
So March, April, May, June, July. Wendy is opening up to you and saying what her brother had looked into doing, right?
I think you're talking about the 14th. You're talking about the 13th, I think.
July 13th?
Okay. Go ahead.
So July 13th, 2014, she's talking about her brother hiring a hitman. She's giving you incriminating details, right?
Yes.
Never said anything about the involvement of Catherine McBanwell, right?
No, it was three sentences, so no, she didn't.
All right, let's talk about now the options that he looked into doing to take care of the problem, right?
Right.
On direct examination, the state attorney's office asked you what year it was. There was more specifics to that. It was specifically the summer of 2013, right?
Yeah, so it was attached to the relocation. So whenever it was after relocation had failed, where she'd been denied the motion for relocation.
But I want to make sure it's clear because we didn't have the full information from direct examination. What Wendy told you is that her brother looked into hiring a hitman in the summer of 2013.
That's correct.
And that would have been before he even knew Catherine McBanwell.
Yeah, I don't know when they met, but if you say so.
One brief moment, Your Honor. Further questions, Your Honor. Thank you. Please raise both hands.
Yes, Your Honor. The breakup email on July 14th, 2014, I know you had some phone contact after that, but was that basically the end of your relationship?
It was the last time I ever saw her.
Okay.
We did have some, it was in August. It was after we didn't talk between then and after the murder.
Okay, so and never got back together and resumed your relationship?
No.
No further questions.
Do you have a question of this witness? Write your question down. We'll go sidebar. Series of questions from the jury. The email, the July 14, 2014 email, was that on a FSU website or a private website? Do you have any recollection?
I think that was from Wendy's Gmail account.
Okay, what about to you?
That would have been to my Gmail as well.
So the answer is no, it was not on an FSU website.
Correct. Okay. To the best of my recollection.
Okay. Did Ms. Adelson indicate that she wanted to relocate to have the children full time?
She didn't talk directly about relocating because she knew that was no longer a possibility. But the other side of that coin, how unhappy she was in Tallahassee and how frustrated she was by the child custody were issues that came up, if not every day, every week, that came up very frequently.
Okay. So that was actually the next question about, she frequently spoke about the divorce and the custody battle.
Yes. Consistently throughout the entire relationship.
And did she appear distressed when she didn't have the children with her?
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.